to life. He brought us to this new place of relationship with him. See, I think it's very important that as we move on, week after week, message after message, that we have an understanding that in the midst of this battle, in the fight that we're in every day of our life, that we win because of the love of God. And we went through this. And it says that he quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together. If you're reading along with me, I'm Ephesians 2, this is verse 6. Sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Underline heavenly places, highlight it, whatever. Heavenly places, this is huge. This is us right now. Right now. Right where you're sitting right now. The issues that you're dealing with right now. The thoughts in your head that are taking you out of the fellowship with God right now, the worries and concerns that are going on right now, you're still in all of that seated in a heavenly place with Christ Jesus. But what does that mean? What does it mean that I'm seated in this heavenly place? Heavenly place is a sphere of spiritual activity. So right now, we standing before you talking, right? We're in the natural. We're natural state. I can look and see you. This is a natural state. But there's two parts. Remember I told you for every natural, a while ago I said, for every natural, there's a spiritual, right? There's a spiritual state in which all of us as believers are in right now. And in this spiritual sphere of activity, there is good. There's demonic forces and angelic forces that are always happening. Right now, in where we're at right now, there's angelic forces taking place and there's demonic forces taking place. But we're not seated with the demonic forces. We're seated with Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus is what? The King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he has given us all authority over this spiritual sphere that we live in. Do you hear what I'm saying? So the word is telling us that this is what we are getting because of the grace of God, so that we can combat, that we can come against, that we can stand victorious in these things, because there is a spiritual battle that is taking place in everyone's life. And you as a believer, the spiritual battle is constant. And if you don't think it's constant, I want to open your eyes and ears to the godly things. Because we weren't just here to be, I don't even know a word for it. Woo, right? See, sometimes when you talk about spiritual things, people go, woo, oh, you know, he's spiritual. This is right now. This is real life. This is real life. The Bible tells us in Corinthians 10, it says that we don't war as the world wars, not flesh and blood, but it's spiritual warfare to pull down every stronghold and also to take captive every thought that comes into our head, because our soul, mind, will, and emotions has not been saved by that grace. It was our spirit that was saved by the grace. Do you hear what I'm saying? So we have to get our mind in line with the Spirit of God that lives in us. And when we do that, now we're fully understanding the grace of God that is working in our lives. And so good or bad don't matter, because the grace of God is working in me, and it's good all the time. The grace of God is a gift given to us that we do not deserve. And he's raised us up together and made us sit together in a sphere of spiritual activities. With Christ Jesus, the battle has begun. The battle has begun because we're right here in it. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, for the red letters. Remember I was saying, I was that guy saying, crucify him. Every single one in here that started life without believing, which is probably every one of us. We crucified Jesus Christ. But because of his grace, because of his love, because of that, we are now seated in these heavenly places. That is awesome. For by grace you are saved through faith. This is important. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So grace that was given to us is a gift. Are you with me? But this grace that has been given to us is a gift that we have to receive by faith. Now, this is where you have to understand what I'm saying here. If I take my wallet out, well, I didn't bring my wallet. If I took my cell phone out, it's a very expensive, important cell phone, right? Whatever. And I was like, here, have my cell phone. Larry would be like, wow, this is actually something that I can see. It's tangible. I can hold on to it. It's mine. It's a gift. I've got it. Look, I've got a cell phone. But faith is belief in something that you can't see. Do you hear what I'm saying? So the grace of God that you have to receive as a gift, you need to know that you're receiving it without seeing it. I hope you're understanding that. Because what happens is people will be, a lot of times they're like, well, I don't know if I'm saved. Well, did you receive the gift? If you receive the gift, then you're saved. But if you reject the gift, you're not saved. It's pretty easy, right? But in our own minds, we make it more complicated than it really is. See, God wants to have an incredible relationship with us. His relationship that he wants with us is so immaculately awesome. I'll make words up or sentences. I don't care. It's big, right? It is so, so cool. We just have to receive it by believing and trusting, right? Faith, believe, trust, cling to, rely on, adhere to. I believe, God, that you love me. I believe that you've given me grace. And I believe that now he's also given me the Holy Spirit to live in me, and you need to believe that too. And because of that, you are not the same person that you used to be. Your mind still may need to get worked out a little bit, but you're different. You're different. You're not the same person you used to be. Not of works were we saved, lest any man should boast. But verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. You're now created in Christ Jesus because you've received the gift. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because now that you've received this gift of grace, you're now created in Christ Jesus. You're this new creation, a new beginning, right? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Jesus came here to do good works. You are now created in Christ Jesus to do the good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Before you even knew you were going to accept Christ someday, before you even knew it, it was already ordained that you're going to walk in these things. It was already set in place that you're going to be a minister of God, that you are going to make Jesus Christ famous. Already set in place. Why? Because God's a big God and he knows this, so we should never, ever put him in a box. He is far bigger than our minds. He created our minds. He is an awesome God. Titus 2:11 through 15. This is where the title of the message came from. The heading to Titus 2:11 in New King James is trained by saving grace. Now, hopefully that we understand that the grace of God is a gift given to us because God loves us so much. All we have to do is receive it. Now that you've received this grace, there's a training that was laid out that Jesus laid out. Amen? And the training that he laid out, that we lay out before you today, is for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. That right there tells me grace of God is Jesus Christ. For the grace of God has appeared to all men. Thank you, Jesus. Teaching us that denying, this is what grace teaches. Put your ears on. This is what grace teaches. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. Now, this word soberly, you can take the word soberly to mean you shouldn't be high on drugs and drinking alcohol. But bottom line, what it ultimately means is sensible and dignified. And so how do I relate that? Well, I know when I was drinking, I wasn't sensible or dignified. So yeah, I live soberly. Amen? And I choose to live soberly because it's good to do that. Why is it good to do that? Because the Word tells me it's good to do that. And I, having the Holy Spirit, you, having the Holy Spirit, were created for what? Good works, right? And it was beforehand ordained. Now, if you or someone listening suffers with addiction, that addiction is not of God. And when you seek Him, the help is there. When you don't seek Him, the help is not there. And all of us can deal with an addiction at one time or another or at current times. But when you seek Him, that's when the help comes. Amen? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. Right now. Not in heaven. I know I just read this. I'm reading again. It's worth reading again. Right now. Right now. Why? Because it's good. Because it's good. Not because you're condemned, but because it's good. Did you hear what I said? So let me say this. Jesus did not die so that we can sin less. He died so that we can live more fully. Do you hear me? So that we can live a more full life. You know, people talk about conformity, right? Oh, yeah, you're just conforming to that church stuff. Did you know that it is not conformity to be a Christian? Because the world has conformed to certain ways. We're not be to conform to that way. See, I don't walk in conformity. I walk in the grace of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Walking the way the world walks, that's conformity. Because the world's going to tell you certain ways to do things. And you're conforming to that way when you walk in that manner. But when you walk according to God, that's anti-conformity. That's not conforming to the world. That's being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because you're different. Different individual. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Say, it's done. It's done. You don't have to walk in iniquity. You've been reformed. You've been redeemed. You've been transformed. The iniquity is done. It doesn't have to be in your life. And purify unto himself a peculiar people. Your verse may say special people. Special people. Zealous of good works. The Lord laid this in my mind. You may not be doing any bad works, but sometimes the lack of action is just as bad works. In other words, doing nothing. There is a statement that says, all there's needed for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. So you may be saying to yourself, I don't do anything wrong. My question would be is ask yourself if you do anything at all. Because the lack of action may be just as bad as bad action. Food for thought. Amen? These things, why am I talking about this? Verse 15. These things speak. Didn't a word come today? Rita, didn't you bring the word that we have to speak, stand, and fight? Verse 15. These words speak. Now, this is Paul speaking to Titus. Titus was a young pastor just like Timothy. Where's my young people at? Young people, everybody should raise their hand. I like that, yeah. Listen, Paul, a minister of the gospel, having a living encounter with Jesus Christ, went around all of Asia Minor and Asia. Anyways, you'll hear what I'm saying. Paul went and spread the gospel. But he found people that will take what he's saying and spread the gospel. And he had people that he would put in charge over certain areas in his absence. Timothy was one of them, but Titus was another one of them. And both of them were young people. Both of them were able to speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. And it says, let no man despise you. Listen, if you don't think that you can rebuke someone else because maybe you're concerned about the plank in your eye before you worry about the speck in a brother or sister's eye. If you don't think you can rebuke someone because you're still working through some of your own issues, what about rebuking yourself? There is not a Sunday that goes by that I sit down here and Pastor Weldon or whoever is bringing the message that I don't take into consideration. Is there something that I need to, based on the word that was brought, rebuke in my own life? I think that if each and every one of us can continually take a look at the good in our life, the bad in our life, what needs to change and what needs to stay, things would be a whole lot better. Not because we're saved because of all this good stuff that we do, right? We just read. But because we've been created to do good. We've been created for this. It's a beautiful thing. Titus 3, 1 through 11. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. This is authority, okay? To obey magistrates and to be ready to do every good work. We're still being trained by grace. Now, I want to throw this out there. Just because something is legal doesn't mean it's right. There are things in the United States of America where we live, right? There's things in the United States of America that are legal to do, but are contrary to the Word of God. Do you hear me? And so, because it may be legal with man's laws, we need to know what is good and right according to what God has laid out. Now, the way that a Christian goes against what God has laid out is they talk to themselves. And they go, well, hey, self, do you think you can do this? And they totally deny the Spirit of God that will direct them in the right path. Because many times, as a word that came today, our selfish ambition and desire overshadow the Spirit of God that lives in us. We can be selfish at times. But maybe we need to rebuke ourselves in those times. To speak evil, we've been told, speak evil of no man, to be not a brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. I struggle with that. Just being transparent, especially when you see things. But then I have to revert back to, we're seated together in heavenly places. And now I have to remember that this is a spiritual sphere of activity that we live in, and that when a man or woman does something that is horrible, I need to now look at it and go, that is a spiritual thing. And my ability, my thing that I can do is now go to battle for the person that was done wrong to, or do battle to bind and rebuke the thing that the individual that's doing wrong. Hopefully this makes sense. Each and every one of us, it's not the person that is the problem, it's the sin behind the person, and that's spiritual. For we ourselves were also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So I have to rebuke myself. I can't be that. I can't be like that. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. The grace of God. Amen? See, many times when you see somebody doing something that you don't like, you need to remember where you once were. Right? You need to look at how you once were. And go, oh, yeah, I don't have it all together. I am not perfect. My perfection is in Christ Jesus and Him alone. Because when I thought I was doing good in the world, it was as filthy rags to what God has done in my life. Right? We need to have, that is part of the sober thinking. That is part of having a right mindset going, oh, wow, let's think soberly of these things now. Matter of fact, Scripture, I think it's Romans 12:3 that says, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. There's always a correction being brought that we're not lifted up higher than Jesus Christ. Right? You don't have it all together. Neither do I. My wife says, amen. Oh, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration. Regeneration basically means made new. And renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is sanctification. Not only were we made new, is that we were set apart, made holy, and different. If we're walking around saying things and doing things that the world is doing, then how are we set apart, being made holy, and different? Make sense? So, this isn't Mike saying it. This is the Word of God saying it. So, these are things. So, this is training ground, right? This is a training ground. So, we need to be conscious because there is a shaking that is taking place in the church. Right? There is a shaking taking place. So, do you know who you are? Do you know how much God loves you? And do you know what you've been created for? Do you know that there's a purpose and a reason for your life so much more than what you can even fathom or imagine, and that you're living in a spiritual realm right now? And that you have authority in this spiritual realm. See, that's the really cool thing. That is also the grace of God, is that in this spiritual realm, you win. In this spiritual realm, it's awesome. Which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So this renewing, this Holy Ghost was shed upon us, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Your heirs, your hope is eternal life. Amen? In heaven. This is a faithful saying. Paul says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So, parents out here, when you tell your children, talking to parents, right? When you tell your children, hey, you shouldn't do that and you should do this, it's because you want them to do the thing that would be profitable and good for them, right? That's exactly what the grace of God has done for us. The grace of God, see, think about the grace. The grace of God has come so that we will do the thing that will be profitable unto us, not the thing that will bring death and disaster, right? That we would see with God's eyes. But avoid foolish questions. All right, speaking to a church body. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Anybody ever been in an argument and it's like, I have to be right? Right? You know, there's a couple places in the Bible that tells us to avoid these things. Avoid silliness. Avoid junk. These silly fights. Where's the married people in here? Most arguments and fights I've been in with my wife have been stupid and silly. Right? And then when you're not getting your way, you start to bring back the old stuff. Let me throw fuel on the fire. You remember, man? We're 28 years in December. We're 28 years now. 27 years married. Do you remember 26 years ago, 4 months and 3 days when you did that? Do you remember that? That's stupid. That is. But we do it in the church to our brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to be better with one another than anybody else. But yet the church, I think sometimes we're bored because we just want to fight one another. And I go back to Satan and his powers and principalities of darkness, sitting back going, huh, check them out. Ain't got to do nothing because they're killing each other. And the Word of God tells us not to. Avoid the foolishness. A man that is a heretic or divisive, somebody bringing division, after the first and second admonition, which is an authoritative counsel or warning, basically counsel warn them, don't do this. After the first or second time, it says reject them. But this is somebody who is coming to bring false teaching into a church that wants to bring this division and a divide. Bible tells us, listen, just reject them. Listen, you're speaking wrong. You're not doing right. You need to not do that. Goodbye. But they're not a brother or sister. Knowing that He that is such is subverted or undermines the power and authority of and sinneth, being condemned of himself. It is, again, it's self-condemnation brought upon them for what they do. And so I leave you with this. Revelation 12:11. And we're talking about how we overcome. It is the grace of God that brought us into this relationship. Yes? This grace of God that brought us into a relationship has trained us on how to live because it's profitable. Are you with me? 12:11 says, and they overcame him, and this can be you and me, and they overcame him, which is Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, by the word of your testimony. And this one, many times, is not spoken about. And they loved not their lives unto death. These are powerful statements. This is how we defeat the enemy in our life. So where are we at? We're seated in a heavenly place right now, right? And as we're seated in this heavenly place, we're in this spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm is where the blood of the Lamb has covered us, defeated the foe, right, the enemy. The word of our testimony, as the enemy comes in and says, do you remember when you used to do this? Do you remember how you used to be this way? Do you remember when? And tries to bring you into remembrance of the junk of yesteryear. That's when the word of your testimony says, nah, but God has taken me out of there. I am cleansed. I am a child of God. I'm an heir to God's kingdom. I live in this kingdom. And I got authority over you, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. See? And then the last part is bravery. The last part is bravery. Not living your life unto death. In other words, not being afraid of what's going to happen. You see, in the United States of America, we're not really faced with a whole lot of martyrdom. We're not going around with our heads being cut off and things like that. Although in other places, that is happening. Matter of fact, I believe I just heard today that 17 missionaries were just taken hostage in Haiti. We pray for them that they'll be safe and set free, because in the spiritual realm, we have authority over that in Jesus' name. But these individual missionaries going all over, or you as a missionary in your place of work or in school or on the street, wherever it is, do not be afraid of Jesus, because that is the power in which you live and breathe. And in that, there is great power. And so we look at this. Let me read 10 and 11 written a different way. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation, power, kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah have come. The one accusing the brethren and sisters, that's us, the one accusing them day and night in the presence of our God has been thrown out. They won the victory over him because of the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life so much that they refused to give it up. That's a challenge to us. That's a challenge to us. But this is how we defeat the enemy. Commentary here says, the heavens burst into exuberant praise with what has become a familiar response to the victories attained in the heavenly realm. There's that word again, the heavenly realm, right? The heavenly places, the heavenly realm, same thing. We're in that right now. This was my revelation early this morning, is right now, I stand here before you in the natural, but I am in a spiritual realm that I have authority in, and so do you. That is why it is so important to pray. That is why it is so important to seek God. That is why it is so important to know who you are in him. The victory was determined before the clash began. Those on the Lord's side would be triumphant, and those brought along Satan would be conquered and cast out with their evil leader, the one accusing our brothers and sisters. Was not by might of Michael or his angels that the battle was won, but by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood on Calvary. Now here you go. This is for us right now. Whatever the hardship endured by believers in the world, the victory is certain and irreversible. Irreversible. And is not dependent upon the triumphs over evil in the earthly realm. but upon those achieved in the spiritual realm. I'm here to win. I'm here to win. Amen? We're in a battle. We're in a fight, each and every one of us. And whatever you are going through, you have authority in the spiritual realm to bind and to loose. So I'm saying today, as you receive the grace of God, also receive the keys to the kingdom of God. And start locking up those things that need to be locked up. And start opening up the doors to those things that need to be opened. Amen? Amen. And watch and see what happens. Let's stand to our feet and close in prayer. Father, we are so incredibly grateful for this day, Lord. And we thank you that you are here with us. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here and those that are on Facebook watching or that will watch. Father, I just bless them, Lord. Bless them, encourage them where they're at. Father, if there's anyone right now listening that is dealing with an infirmity, Lord, Father, we just call forth your healing balm to heal them, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for your testimony that you've given us, that your Son Jesus Christ died for us, that it may be our testimony. Father, thank you that you have not left us as orphans. We thank you for your grace, and we receive that grace right now. We trust in you, Lord. Father, bless my brothers and sisters that are here today. Keep them safe and free from all harm. And Father, we rejoice in knowing who we are in you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a beautiful week.